My name is Nina Bergqvist, and I am one of the leaders in this church. I'm married to my own husband, and we have three kids together. I work at a company called Alimak, and once a month I am 329 people's favorite person because I work in payroll. I like to sing, I like to read books, and I like, really, really like to doing ice bath with friends. And if you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. It's super awesome. Right, Juliana? Yes, it's super awesome. This is my first time preaching in English, so I'm a bit nervous. But luckily, God is bigger than my language skills, so I'm trusting him to fill in the gaps. But let us leave this moment to him and pray together. Lord, thank you for being so awesome. Thank you that you are here with us and that you are always keen on showing us your love. I leave this service to you. I leave my words, my mouth, and our hearts to you. Let us be prepared for what you want to say today. And if I say something that doesn't agree with you, please let no one remember it. Thank you for always, always having my back. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, let's begin. Today, I want to talk about God and his love for us. And you know, already in the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, God tells us that he wants us. In the first chapter, and 26, we can read, God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I don't know if you know the story, but mankind turned their back on God and say, no, we can be God ourselves. And sin came into our lives. And sin means that we missed the target. We missed the relationship, the close relationship with God. And we have all sinned and we have all failed. I don't think that there is anyone here who can say, I never told a lie. I have never doubted God. Have you ever felt dislike or even hate for someone? Have you ever looked at a person with lust that isn't your spouse? Have you ever said or thought a harsh word? In Romans 3 and 23, we can read, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is holy, he's pure, and he is perfect. And when we have sin in our life, we are separated from him. We are building this wall between us and God. We have a debt to God. We are created in his image. We are created to belong to him. And we should be in a relationship with him. But when we sin, we stack up this huge debt to God. And our sin is leading us to death. And the debt had to be paid. And the price is death. Well, this doesn't sound so good, does it? No. But luckily, there are good news. Really good news. Because we could never pay off this debt towards God. So he paid it off for us. In John 3:16-17, we can read, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he humbled himself and came to earth, fully human and fully God. He was born in a stable in Bethlehem by the Virgin Mary, and it's more than 2,000 years ago. And Jesus, he managed to do the thing that not everyone of us could do, that we failed to do. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never missed the target. He did everything right, even though he was tempted, he was in pain, he was betrayed, he was angry, he was sad, but he lived the perfect life. He fulfilled all the laws in the Old Testament, and he fulfilled all the prophecies about him. And then he chooses, by his free will, to take up your sins and my sins, your wrongs and my wrongs, to give his life and to be nailed to the cross and pay the price for all our sins. He died so that we could live. In Romans 6, we can read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus our Lord." And we can read in Colossians 2, "For he forgave us all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." So it is not God who is judging us. It's our sin that judges us. But Jesus took it away when he was nailed to the cross with our sins. In Psalm 103 and 12, we can read, "He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west." In other words, he put a sin as far off as it's possible, as you possibly can. And that means that your sins are done away with. The price of your sins is paid for completely on that cross. So the wall that we had built up, the separation between us of God, there is no more. It's taken away, and we can now have relationship with God again. So that is the good news of the gospel. In Ephesians 2, we can read, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." So it is by grace that you are being saved. Grace cannot be earned. Grace cannot be deserved. It is as impossible to deserve grace like it is to plan your own surprise party. It can't be done. You can never receive salvation because you are good enough, kind enough, generous enough. It can only be received as a gift. And as we can read, that it is received as a gift through faith. So it is actually your faith in Jesus Christ that is saving you. And then you receive the gift of grace, the forgiveness of sins. Not because you have done everything right, because you are humble enough to admit that you are a sinner and that you need salvation. And then you are justified. Justified means like just as if you never had sinned. You are now in right standing in front of God. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Your shame, guilt, and condemnation are taken away, and you can be free in front of God. In John 8 and 36, we can read, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." There is nothing holding you back anymore. You can stand in the front of the throne of God, and everything is right between you and God. Not only did God save you, He has plans for you. He created you. Even before your mother was in her mother's womb, there were preparations for you. God created you for this time. He wants you here right now, and you are not a mistake. We can read in Ephesians 2 and 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In the English translation, New Living Translation, the Bible states, "For we are God's masterpiece." What is a masterpiece? It's defined as an outstanding artistic work. A masterpiece is created with so much talent and creativity. It's something so beautiful. An artist puts a lot of thought in what he creates. And God, the ultimate artist, he created you with a lot of precision. All the information that makes you you, if it was possible to put all that information in, you can store that information in a flash drive, a really good flash drive, like 1 terabit flash drive. 1 terabyte is like 1,000 gigabytes, so it's a lot. If we'll put that stack on top of each other, how many do you think we would need to gain all the information about you? Any guesses? How far up? Come on, someone had to guess. To the moon? More? Less? Sorry? To a ceiling. Okay. Actually, if we put all the top of each other, it would go beyond the Earth atmosphere, beyond our solar system, across the entire Milky Way galaxy, to span the entire visible universe, not just once, but 3.5 times the diameter of the visible universe. All that information, that would be you, exactly you. And if we could contain all that information, we would have everything about you. Your eye color, your talents, your hopes, your dreams, your fears, the part of you that likes to take ice baths, to like to ride a horse, or like to play on the computer, or sing, or play the guitar. That's how much precision God put in you when He made you. God looks at you with joy. If you look around, look at all the people here today, look at the variety of people. Each one of you, God's masterpiece. And what is so wonderful, when we take time to spend time with our Creator, we gain a deeper understanding of why we are here. There's so much He wants to show you. He wants you to seek Him, and He wants to be close to you. He wants to show how He sees you. He knows why He created you and for what purpose. God is so intimate and personal, and He sees to our every need. When I was 7 years old, it was the day before Christmas Eve. In Sweden, we celebrate Christmas at Christmas Eve. But this was the night before that. My mom sat in the living room crying her eyes out Because she had been sick for a couple of weeks and she was pregnant with my youngest sister. And she didn't have the strength to prepare for Christmas. And she cried and she cried and she said, I grew up poor. But even though we were poor, my mom always made cookies for Christmas. And I didn't even have the strength to do that. And all the family gathered around her and tried to comfort her and said, we don't care about the cookies, Mom. We just want you to be happy. And suddenly the doorbell rang. And everyone just froze. We looked at each other. And my dad looked at me and said, Nina, go get the door. So I ran away, opened the door, and there was no one there. But it was this big moving box outside the door. And so my dad yelled, who was it? There's no one here, it's just a box. Well, open it. So I open it, and in this box there are bread, there are cookies, there are cinnamon buns, and there are everything you need for Christmas. God saw my mother's wish to have home-baked cookies and bread for Christmas. That was important to him. And last Thursday, when I was preparing for this sermon, I suddenly got sad about things regarding my now grown-up kids. Situations from the past popped up in my head that I wished that I had handled differently, and I felt like a failure and a bad mom. Sorry, I always cry. But then the Lord reminded me that 1 month earlier, when a person prayed for me, he told me through this person that I'm a good mom. God thinks I'm a good mom. He told me that several times, and now he reminded me again. Thank you. This is God. He's the perfect dad. He will never say, I told you so. He will never say that he needs to punish you before he can forgive you. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Jesus, he's waiting for you to come to him so he can restore you. He can lift your burdens, wipe your tears, and fill you with joy. And it's not too late. And he loves you so much. Because Jesus is no longer in the grave. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He is alive today, and he is longing for everyone to come to salvation and understand the price he paid for us, for our sins. And in Romans 10 and 9, it is written, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not harder than that. You can confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And in Romans 10:10, we read, for it is by believing in your heart that you are right, made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Jesus came to pour out the love of the Father, to show us that he wants a close personal relationship with us. God isn't mad at you, he loves you. That is the good news. If you are willing to start a new life together with Jesus, or maybe you need a restart, come to the Father's love again, you will have the opportunity to do that today. If you want Jesus in your life, if you want a relationship with your Creator, or just say, "Hi God, it's me again, sorry I didn't talk to you for all this time, but now I'm here again, please show me your love." If you want to do that, and if you want someone to pray for you, we will gladly do that. Father, I thank you that you are so close to us, that you show us your love, your deep love for us. Thank you that you loved us first. Thank you that you are here today. Thank you that you are touching our hearts, showing us who you are. Jesus, thank you for what you did for us, that you died for our sins. I love you so much. Holy Spirit, come. Come and do your thing. Come and blow our minds. Let us see what you want to show us. And show us God's glory. That we can be close to you, God. We can come boldly to the throne. And you will just open your arms and embrace us. Let your love shine on us. Let us be healed by your wounds, Jesus. Thank you for that you are a personal, close God that know every one of us so well. Because you made us. You know the bad jokes that we're laughing at. You know our sense of humor. You know when we are sad or when we are happy. Thank you for filling us with your joy and your comfort. In every situation, you are there with us. You will never leave us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.